listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands in the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
It's quite possible that if you've been listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio for any amount of time, that you have heard words used that you may not be familiar with. One of those words that we tend to use often in our answers to Bible questions is the revelation of the mystery. So our first question today is, could you please explain what you mean by the revelation of the mystery?
Yeah, this is a good question. And first of all, we need to find out where in the Bible this comes from. Because when you're asking these questions about terms, it's nice to use when we can biblical words and definitions. Romans 16:25 is where the phrase revelation of the mystery shows up in your King James Bible. And here Paul writes, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to the gospel, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery." And so this is fascinating because here it's talking about the preaching of Jesus Christ, but not just preaching Christ any old way. Paul is talking specifically about preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So the revelation of the mystery is something, apparently, that Paul has received, or at least he's preaching in the book of Romans here. And he goes on to describe it as being something which was kept secret since the world began. That's Romans 16:25. And of course, he mentions the mystery other times in his epistles. In Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about the mystery that was made known unto him. In Ephesians 3, verse 3, he says that his task is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery in Ephesians 3, verse 9, which hath been hidden God. And so, again, you have the hidden aspect of it, which is what mystery means. It was a secret. And how Paul had been given it. Ephesians 3, verse 1 through 3 says a dispensation, that is a message, a revelation of the mystery had been given to him in Ephesians 3, 1 through 3. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says he preaches the mystery of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and again, I could quote verse after verse where Paul's speaking about the mystery. The question was, what is it? Well, Ephesians 3, verse 6 describes it like this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And so the mystery pertains to the gospel. That's what Ephesians 6 says, the mystery of the gospel. It pertains to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 16. And according to 1 Corinthians 2, it has to do with his death on the cross, his death and resurrection. And so this mystery information is about how through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, there's a new creature that's been created called the church, the body of Christ, that is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. And this was something that was kept secret that the rest of the Bible had not heretofore talked about. Okay, before in the Bible, it talks about Israel, a nation, and this sort of thing. But then to Paul, it's revealed this thing that's been operating for 2,000 years, which was then a mystery, but it's now been revealed. And so you really need to be asking yourself, after all these verses that we just heard from the Scripture, why you have not heard of the revelation of the mystery, especially when Ephesians 3 asks the question, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? in Ephesians 3, verse 2. That's right from the Bible there. Why haven't you heard of the revelation of the mystery? It's in Paul's epistles. It's in his 13 books talking about this revelation. How come you have not heard that in church? And that's a valid question to ask your pastor, to ask your friends, is why isn't that the case? I remember one gentleman I talked to about the mystery. I showed him Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, and he was taken aback just that the words I was using was actually in the Bible. He had never heard these verses quoted before. And so I encourage you to open your Bible, read Ephesians chapter 3, read Romans 16, 25, read 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and 7, and see where Paul talks about the mystery.
The mystery revealed to Paul is something that is often a mystery to a lot of people who even study their Bibles and go to church. The most popular Bible study topic that we find people are engaging in is the study of the end times and the revelation events and those future things that are going to happen. So our next question is simply, are we living in the end times?
Yeah, and this is a good question that ties into the last one, because as we understand what the revelation of the mystery is, Paul says the mystery was kept secret since the world began. But when we read in Acts chapter 3, in verse 21, Peter is preaching here at Pentecost, or at least after Pentecost, that he's preaching that which was spoken by the prophets since the world began. And so what Paul preaches in Romans chapter 16 that was kept secret since the world began was a mystery. What Peter preaches in Acts 3 is what was spoken since the world began. And the question was, are we living in the end times? Well, the end times of what? Well, this is the end times of prophecy, and the end times of what had been spoken by the prophets that would come. And so this is a subject, a question that pertains to the prophecy in the Bible, not to the mystery in the Bible. And so when we talk about rightly dividing the scriptures or how to use the Bible, the one of the biggest helps that will help you in discerning what parts of the Bible belong to what to you and what's going on today is to rightly divide prophecy from mystery. And so in Acts chapter 2, for example, where Peter is preaching at Pentecost, where many people think is the birthday of the church, and that, of course, is a wrong thinking. But Peter stands up and says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." And so I'll cut it off there, but I want to pull out how Peter says at Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, these are the last days. And he said that at Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Now the question should rise in your mind, if he said that 2,000 years ago, so long ago that it's been printed in our Bible for 2,000 years, then are we living in the end times now, the last days now? And so kind of a running joke I have at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at our church is that whenever this comes up, this question comes up, or someone predicts the end times or the date of the end, I'll always say that we live closer to the end than we ever have before. And of course, this is common sense and kind of silly, but that's the truth of the statement, is that as time goes by, we're closer to the end. But we are not living in the last days of prophecy, because we're not living in the days of prophecy. We're living in the days of the mystery. And so this is how the revelation of the mystery and understanding what that is really can help us discern whether we're living in prophetic times or not. And that's controversial, because a lot of people think that we are, and a lot of people think we're living in the last days. But if you think we are living in the end times, then it's incumbent on you to show that from the scripture. And inevitably, those who think that we are go to the prophetic scriptures that were spoken since the world began and do not communicate, do not understand the revelation of the mystery that Christ subsequently revealed. You see, that mystery we just talked about given to Paul was something that was not revealed until after Peter spoke in Acts 2 and 3. So Peter preaches the last days 2,000 years ago, and 2,000 years later, we're still here. The end of the world hasn't yet come. The kingdom hasn't yet come. Well, what happened for 2,000 years? How can it be the last days if it's 2,000 years away? You see, and so that's been the question that has plagued theologians and Christians for 2,000 years, and you just have to keep reading in your Bible. Keep reading past Acts chapter 3, and you see in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul gets saved, and he's given this revelation of the mystery that explains what God has been doing now for some 2,000 years. So this is why it's important to understand both of these questions, the revelation of the mystery and are we living in the last days?
So in talking about the end times, one of the more popular events that people will discuss and try to study out in the scripture and find out the timing and how it's going to happen and all this is the rapture. Do you believe in the rapture? What is this? What's going on with the rapture?
Yeah, and that's a setup question because based on my answer, there's going to be a lot of people offended whether I answer in the positive or the negative. But this is something we need to consult the scriptures on to see what it says. And of course, we all know if you've studied the scripture, the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible at all. And if people have studied it out, you know it comes from the Latin and this sort of business. But the word rapture is not in the Bible. In the same way, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but we still believe in the three-in-one Godhead. So it's about a doctrine. What's it talking about? And typically what people mean by the rapture is this idea that the church is going to be taken up off the earth and go to heaven in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And of course, that language there is something that you find in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, down in verse 53, 51 and 52, where Paul writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery." So again, we've been talking about the revelation of the mystery, and Paul here is explaining one. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And he talks about this resurrection, this immortality that we put on, this incorruptibility. And so part of that mystery is how Paul explains the resurrection of the church. Now, the people debate when this rapture is going to happen, whether it's going to happen before the tribulation, after the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, and where in the end time events. And I think that the conversation is really, it goes in the wrong direction often when people talk about that and they debate it, because hardly anyone that I've read recently and what I've talked to recently will acknowledge the revelation of the mystery given to Paul. And they think that all the New Testament books are speaking in the same prophetic time frame, are speaking of the same thing. But when you understand what we just talked about, the revelation of the mystery was given to the Apostle Paul, and that was after Peter was preaching the last days in Acts chapter 3. And so these are two different bodies of information. Peter is preaching something the prophets spoke about. That includes Daniel and Zechariah and Malachi and Jeremiah. And then Paul is speaking something that the prophets did not know about. And so that was called a mystery. It was kept secret. And these are two different bodies of information. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about this resurrection, this mystery resurrection of the church, which of course is the new creature, this mystery topic, this mystery subject. And so when you separate prophecy and mystery, suddenly it really helps you with when things will happen in the future. And so I know we're getting kind of detailed here, but when you talk about a separation of prophecy and mystery, that means you have to separate mystery information, what God's doing today, from God's purpose revealed in prophecy. And so included in prophecy is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, the kingdom of Israel. Included in prophecy is the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble. The whole book of Revelation is prophecy. And so all of that information is something that Peter was talking about. It's something the prophets spoke about, but it is not the topic of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, Romans 16:25. And so do I believe in a rapture? I believe in the resurrection of the church. Paul speaks about that in 1 Thessalonians 4. I believe in 1 Corinthians 15, the moment twinkling resurrection and change that happens to the church. And I believe, based on 1 Thessalonians 1, that the church, which has a mission today to preach the mystery of Christ, will not have that ministry when God resumes his dealings with Israel in prophecy in the future. And so you have there a resurrection, a seeing the Lord in the air before God starts finishing up his earthly prophetic program. And so that right division from prophecy and mystery tells you when those things will happen. So, yes, I believe in a rapture. It's not called the rapture. It's a resurrection of the church, and it's when God removes his ambassadors from this planet before he comes back to judge and make war.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk more about some prophetic events like the tribulation and the signs of the times.
And it's yours free.
Yay!
With any size donation. Oh. It's free if you buy one at regular price. It's free for the first month. It's free when you sign up for our... It's buy one, get one.
Feel like you're being baited every time you turn around?
Uh-huh.
It seems like there's always a catch if you don't read the fine print. You can't believe everyone when they say something's free, but you should believe me when I tell you about two free things I want you to have today. Why believe me? Because I don't get any money from you receiving these free gifts. We have no paid sponsors. There are no commercials on Grace Ambassadors Radio. We're not trying to sell you anything. Everything in this program is already paid for in full. Which brings me to the first gift, your salvation. Salvation is free because Christ has already paid for it by dying on the cross for your sins. You can be certainly saved for free right where you sit by trusting Christ's payment for your sins. Trust His resurrection, and you can claim eternal life and salvation for free through Jesus Christ. The second thing for free that I want to give you is a free book called Start Rightly Dividing, and one copy is yours for free. No strings attached, no bait, no switch, just free. You just tell me where to send it. Or you can stop by if you want Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. It's in Swayze, Indiana. Pick it up for yourself. All the books there are free. However you get it, it's totally free and completely paid for by Grace Ambassadors Radio, even the shipping and handling. We won't ask you to sign up for anything, give anything. We won't ask you to attend anywhere. We won't even follow up to see if you liked it. It's just plain free. I know it's hard to believe what you hear on the radio, but I want you to know the privilege of having free salvation by learning it for yourself in the Bible Rightly Divided. Trust Jesus Christ, He paid for your sins, and learn how to start rightly dividing by claiming your free book. Write me at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, or visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.
Here's what people are saying about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship.
At Grace Ambassadors, there's not a whole bunch of hype and emotionalism. It's reading God's Word and understanding it and allowing that to change your life.
No tithing, no membership, no fancy frills, just Bible.
You don't have to be perfect to attend Grace Ambassadors. You learn real doctrine that you can apply to your daily life.
If you want to remove doubt, eliminate confusion and frustration, and equip yourself to minister to those around you with confidence, clarity, and intelligence, and come to Grace Ambassadors and learn the truth in God's Word rightly divided.
Learn more about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at graceambassadorsradio.com. So far on this week's episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, we've covered quite a bit of ground where we first talked about the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, but was revealed to the Apostle Paul after Peter was preaching about the last days in Acts 2 and the fulfillment of God's prophetic program in Israel's prophecies. And then we talked about the rapture and the catching away of the resurrection of the church. And so now we're going to delve into some of those prophetic events that have yet to come, that people have questions about. They want to know how to figure these things out, how to study them, what the Bible says about them. So the first question is, are we living in the tribulation now?
We're living in the tribulation now. Yeah, and so this, again, is another common and popular question regarding prophecy in the end times. And people look around when they see recessions happen and they see wars happen and they see our country, they think going in the wrong direction. And so they see all of these things. They say, well, these are signs. This means we're living in the tribulation. The tribulation is a period in the scripture that's commonly prophesied about. Back in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they talk about a coming tribulation and judgment upon the nation. Jesus himself spoke about it in Matthew 24 and in Luke chapter 21, this coming judgment upon Israel. Revelation talks about this time of tribulation. Matthew even calls it the time of great tribulation. Daniel says it's a time in which no one has seen before. It's the greatest tribulation. And so the question is, are we living in that now? Well, I think we can definitively say we're not. And again, that may be controversial, and if it is for you, contact us and let us know that is. But the reason why I say that is because, again, not only do we rightly divide prophecy from mystery, if we understand what God is doing today was a mystery kept secret, then what he's doing today cannot be what was prophesied. Okay, and so we rightly divide prophecy and mystery. We know that deductively. We know that from the scripture rightly divided. But secondly, if you just read what the scripture says about the tribulation and read what it describes as that time of trouble that would precede the coming of the Lord to the earth, you'll see that it's a terrible event. It's terrible circumstances. Zephaniah, for example, Zephaniah 1 verse 14 says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And it goes on to describe about the people who die there and the people who are judged there. And it's just so extreme in its description that I don't think we can really describe the political currents in America as being descriptive of the tribulation that God will pour out on the earth, the judgment that he brings. And so when you read in Matthew 24, the things that Jesus says will happen when he comes, it's just simply not descriptive. Now, speaking of that, there are things that Jesus says that predict or that it tell that the times are at hand. And again, you read those and he says there'll be earthquakes, there'll be the wars and rumors of wars. But he goes on to say that is not, okay, that is not the time that he's talking about. It's not the tribulation. In fact, he makes the point that those things will happen continually throughout history. And so we've seen throughout history wars. We've seen back in the bubonic plague, and we weren't alive then, but the bubonic plague people thought was Revelation coming to fruition. And the Great Depression, people thought this was Revelation coming to fruition. And so over and over again, you see these great disasters and tragedies, and people say, well, look, there it is. Here's the worst parts of the Bible. This is the apocalypse, the end of the world. And really, it's not. What God is offering the world today is grace. And in Romans 5:1 and 2 Corinthians 5 says that God is offering grace to the world. He is not imputing men's sins, and he's preaching reconciliation through his ambassadors. And so it is our task to preach salvation to the world. It's our task to preach God's grace to the world. Romans 5:1 says you're justified by faith and we have peace with God. Ephesians 6, Paul says we're to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. And so our message in the church is one of peace to the world, one of grace to the world, one of salvation toward sinners before God pours out his judgment. You see, God's not judging the world today. He's rather offering grace. It's the final terms of grace and peace before he comes back to judge with his armies. And so when you talk about tribulation, talk about the prophetic time of tribulation, you're talking about God's judgment on the world. And you got to think about that, because either God's going to judge the world or he's going to offer grace to the world. He can't do that at the same time. And so we're either going to preach God's judgment, in which case he's not offering salvation, or he's preaching salvation by grace to the world and he's not judging. He can't do both. They would contradict the message we're supposed to preach. So we need to be persuaded on what God is doing, which is, again, what we're trying to communicate here at Grace Ambassadors is explaining how to understand what God is doing, understanding the Bible rightly divided.
Okay, so the Great Tribulation is not happening now. God's not pouring his judgment out on the world right now. Those types of events that are so extreme and depictive of what's going to happen is still future yet. But surely what we're seeing around us is the signs of the times. I mean, surely what we're seeing around us is everything coming to a head to bring on all these events like the Great Tribulation.
Yeah, so the question is about the sign of the times. And this is the common thing. I mean, every time something bad happens, every time someone gets elected that's not from the party you prefer, inevitably there'll be people with sandwich boards and say this is the end, the next 4 years, the next 8 years is going to be the worst time in human history. And, you know, this is a sign of the times based on who got elected and whatnot and whatever else happens. Back in 2008 was the recession. You know, it was Harold Camping a few years back predicting dates. Back in the 1970s and 80s, there was another recession then. So over and over again, you see these things repeated. And it's inevitably things that happen naturally, natural disasters or economic hardships or personal hardships, persecution, the rise of Islam and ISIS and the murders going on over there. So, you know, all these things happen and people say, well, these must be signs of the times. Well, if you go to Matthew 24, you can read about what Jesus says are the signs of the times. And it's not those things. In fact, Matthew 24, in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, after the disciples asked him, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You see, when Jesus returns in the future, it will be the end of the world. And I don't mean by that that the world itself will be destroyed. I mean the kingdoms of the world, the political rulerships of the world will be overturned and Christ will replace them with his kingdom on the earth. That's the end of the world and the beginning of the new world. But Jesus answered the disciples 2,000 years ago, and he said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. And so you have wars, rumors of wars, and people talk about the United Nations and the wars that come and whether this is a sign of the times. But Jesus says all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So have you read Matthew 24 and verse 6, where Jesus said the rumors of wars are not the end? In fact, he's trying to comfort them, saying just because bad things happen, don't think this is the end. There are specific signs, and they're not wars. Verse 7, Jesus says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And so prophetic ministries who emphasize prophecy and don't know the mystery, they'll say, well, earthquakes have been rising in frequency and in occurrence. And, you know, they'll join hands with the global warming alarmists and say, look, the world itself is being destroyed, all these natural disasters. But Jesus says that is not a sign of the end times. Now, he's not saying that bad things won't happen in the end. He's simply saying that when you hear these things, don't think that's a sign of the end. These things just happen. He says in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Many shall be offended, many shall fall away. There'll be false prophets, false teachers. He said this is not the sign of the times. Paul himself says evil doers wax worse and works. Evil men wax worse and worse. But in Matthew 24, there is a sign of the time, and Jesus says that the sign of his coming, which is of the great tribulation, will be seen by people. He says, as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so people will see when the Lord returns. They'll know the specific signs, which have to do with that lightning and the angels and Israel's miracles recurring, saved Israel, by the way. And you read Revelation, and it talks about those end times and talks about those days. And a third of the world is dying. You've got Israel resurrected. I mean, resurrection's happening. I mean, where is the resurrection, the literal physical resurrection of people that's talked about in the end times? Ezekiel 37 talks about that. Well, that's not going on. You have political changes and things like this, but you don't have those signs, those miracles. And so what about the signs of the times was the question. Well, many of the things people think are signs simply are not. They're bad things happening. And every day that we live in this dispensation of grace is another day of opportunity of preaching grace to other people that can be saved out of judgment and out of those times. We are not living in the times of the signs. We don't see the signs of the times because we're not living in the times of those signs.
Well, that's all the time we have for questions for this week's episode. If you have questions about what the Bible says about prophecy or the end times or anything that you heard on this broadcast today, please go to graceambassadorsradio.com and submit your questions or comments there, and we'll be happy to get those questions answered on the air.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Want to learn more about Mid-Axe Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.